All right, so today we're continuing with our series that we've been looking at for the past, I think for the past 2 weeks since the beginning of the Easter celebration period. So we've been looking at the gospel, the cross, and discipleship. So for the past few meetings that we've had, the first one we looked at the gospel, we looked at what the gospel is, why the gospel. Then last week we looked at resurrection, and last week we looked at the account of the resurrection of Christ. We looked at some typical responses to the resurrection of Christ when it happened and some of the responses that we get now. And this morning we're going to continue with the resurrection as well. So we'll just, if time permits, we'll wrap it up today, and we'll be looking at a number of things concerning the resurrection, focusing on what the significance of the resurrection really is. What does it mean to us as Christians? What's the real crux of the matter, if I can use that term? Why is the resurrection so paramount to our Christian faith? So we'll look at some of those things today. Then we'll look at our response. Now, the first thing we want to say is this. The resurrection actually, in the first point, confirms the prophecies about Jesus Christ. Now, we've been looking at the book of Matthew at our Friday Bible studies, and Matthew particularly, you know, connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. So you would see, for example, in Matthew, the first chapter, he would say, you know, as spoken by the prophets about a virgin giving birth to a child, spoke about John the Baptist. So the first thing we see about the resurrection is that it confirms what was spoken about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament spoke about his death and also referred to his resurrection as well. So if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, so we're looking at the first point, that it confirms the prophecies about Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 and 4. Now, in that portion of scripture, it says, Paul was saying, For what I received, I passed on to you as of the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. We don't have to turn there. If we look at Isaiah chapter 53, don't turn there. It talks about Christ, talks about how he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, how he bore our infirmities, how the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Old Testament talking about the death of Christ. Now, if you go to Psalm 16 verse 10, Psalm 16 verse 10, he says something there. This is David referring to Christ. He says, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. Referring to the resurrection of Christ here, that God had predetermined that Christ would be resurrected from the dead. So linking what had been said about Christ, not only about his birth and his life, but most importantly, his death as well. So we see that the resurrection of Christ is the fulfillment of prophecy, to start with. Now, the second thing we want to look at today, I think we'll look at five main points. The second thing we want to look at is that the resurrection is the basis of our faith as Christians. It is so important, the resurrection. Now, if we look at Acts chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. Acts chapter 17, verse 2 and 3. Paul, this was the message that Paul went all over the regions preaching. Paul did not go, I mean, this was the fundamental. He spoke about a number of things. He spoke about marriage. He spoke about so many things, but this was the fundamental message that Paul the apostle preached. And it says here, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. this Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. So the basis of our gospel is that Jesus died, but he didn't stay there, but that he resurrected as well. So this was the message that Paul, the apostle, preached. This is the message that we preach. This is the gospel. But why is the resurrection so important? Why didn't we just stop at the fact that Christ died and just leave that the resurrection? Both of them go together, which we'll see in a minute. Now, if we look at Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 47. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 to 47. Saying that this is the bedrock of our faith. So Jesus said, he says, he told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins we preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So we begin to see that this was the message that Jesus gave the disciples. This is the message that he gave us. And our gospel, the strength and the power of our gospel lies solely on the fact that Jesus not only died, but he resurrected. Now, why is this so important? Now, if you look at, I want to use the term other religions. I don't think Christianity is a religion, but we'll just leave it at that point. Other religions, if you look at Buddha, for example, where is he? Is he alive? If you look at Muhammad, where is he? Is he alive? If you look at Haile Selassie, is he alive? All those people made a number of claims, but none of them is alive. None of them resurrected. Do you understand? So we see that if we look at this, the resurrection is so significant in our Christian faith that it trumps every other belief system that you can imagine. Some people will say, oh, for example, Hinduism, when you die, depending on how much good you've done, you will be reincarnated from what you are to something. So if you behave badly, for example, if you're not nice to your neighbor, maybe you would come back as a plant and you'd be eaten, or you could, you know. But can they show us someone who has resurrected? Can they show me someone in their family, in someone's family that said, oh, I was a plant in Morocco, now I'm a human being? Do you understand? All these things are just claims. They're claims. So Jesus says this, that's the message. Now, if you now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. That resurrection is, at the death and the resurrection is the basis of our faith. It said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So God had to do something for us so that not only were our sins forgiven, but that we also became the righteousness of God. Now, let me just differentiate between two things here. I want to differentiate between the forgiveness of sins and being the righteousness of God. Do you know that if I use the example, if someone offends me, say for example, I might say, okay, I forgive you. Do you understand? And they go away. But there's a difference where someone offends me, I forgive them, then I now say, that's not enough. I'm now going to give you everything that I own. Everything that is mine is now yours. Do you understand? Everything I own. So the death of Christ, the nailing of Christ on the cross, the shedding of his blood on the cross atoned for our sins. That means anyone who has faith in the death of Christ, because he spilt his blood, we have forgiveness of sins. Now, in the Old Testament, there was just one person. In the Old Testament, they shed a lot of blood to cover the sins of Israel, but none of them had the righteousness of God. It ended at forgiveness of sins. The only person that the Bible tells us inherited righteousness by faith was Abraham. So Abraham was the one that got his sins forgiven and also got righteousness as well. But till the coming of Christ, every other person, it was just forgiveness of sins. but not working in the righteousness of Christ. So the death of Christ, the spilling of his blood atones for our sin. But because he resurrected and he's alive, we have now inherited the righteousness of God. That means everything that Christ is, we are. Apart from his God attributes, like being omniscient and all those things. But the Bible tells us that we are in Christ. So why are we in Christ? We're in Christ because Christ resurrected from the dead. He's at the right hand of God. And we are now in him. Do you understand? So I'm saying that the second thing is that the resurrection is so fundamental to our faith that without the resurrection, there will have been no point. Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 to 19, Paul begins to make a point here. 1 Corinthians 15, 14 to 19. He says, and Paul made an argument here about the resurrection. And he said, and if Christ had not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we will be found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. So Paul was making the argument that, look, the same argument I made at the beginning, that if Jesus did not resurrect, then our faith will have been in vain. Because it's just like me telling you, I'm going somewhere and I'm going to come back. If I don't come back, then I haven't verified my claim. So it's telling us here that it was so crucial that Christ had to come back. He had to resurrect. Because that is the distinguishing factor between all these other claims, all these other faiths that are saying, you know, they're saying this about God. They're saying no. All these things, none of them have ever resurrected the way Christ did. So it says, Paul is saying here, look, the basis of our faith that we're sure about every single thing that Christ has done is because Christ resurrected. Do you understand? Very important. Now, still looking at resurrection at the basis of our faith. Now, the combination of resurrection and the forgiveness of sins is what makes us born again. If we look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, you know, Paul begins to say here, he says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you understand? So we begin to see here that the resurrection is the fundamental thing about our faith, to the point that it is what connects us with God. It is the death and the resurrection of Christ that gives us access to God. That is why we have this prayer here, that Paul was telling them, you know what? If you declare the Lord Jesus in your heart and that you believe that Christ raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we see the resurrection as part and parcel of our belief, our faith, and our salvation. So we begin to see the importance of the resurrection in this regard. Now, the third thing we want to look at is this. The resurrection of Christ actually did something else. It showed the power of Jesus over death. It showed the power of Jesus over death. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. Now, death is a problem that man has not been able to solve. Man has gone to space. Man has done all sorts of things. They've conquered ground. They've flown around. But there is the question of death that nobody appears to have the answer to. The Egyptians in ancient times, they approached death. They would put the pharaohs in the tombs, load them with a lot of gold and things to the afterlife, only to find out some centuries later that those tombs have been looted by people who are alive. So everybody has tried different ways to explain what happens after death. People have come up with all sorts of things. But nobody has ever been able to overcome the power of death. So this tells us, he says here, he has saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. He says, this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of the time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So this tells us that Jesus Christ, by his death and by his resurrection, he has destroyed death. So death had been introduced from the beginning in the book of Genesis, where God said, Adam and Eve, when you eat of this fruit, you will die. And when they ate, they died, but they didn't die physically. It was a death that was waiting for them, the death that awaits every human being. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one that now has the key. Well, his death and his resurrection did one thing for us. It now brought us to the position where our lives are not just, how should I put it, without hope. We know what is going to happen to us when we die. And the reason why we can confidently say, you know what, when I die, I'm going to heaven. You know what, when I die, when Christ comes back, I will be resurrected with everybody. It's because of this. Christ destroyed death on our behalf. Jigger, if you look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, so the death and the resurrection of Christ brought an end to the reign of death. It says, and again, I will put my trust in him. Is that Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14? Thanks. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shed in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of the power of death, that is the devil. So Jesus broke the power of the devil. So the thing that the devil uses to terrorize a lot of people in different nations is death. If you go to certain regions of the world, they will do all sorts of things, perform all sorts of ceremonies, offer to all sorts of idols because they're afraid for their lives. You know, the reign of Satan he has used death to scare a lot of people. If you do this, I'll kill you. If you do, you know, because that was the power that he had. But in Christ now, Satan does not have the power of death over the believer. Do you understand? Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Do you understand? Jesus rose from the dead. Now, the other one we'll look at is this. But so the fourth thing is this. But we don't have to turn there. If you want to know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 35 to 49. So the fourth thing is this. This portion of scripture tells us that because Jesus resurrected, when we die as well, when everybody dies, when Christ returns, the Bible says he will return, we will all be resurrected. All those who are alive will meet him in the air. All those who have died, the Bible tells us, will be resurrected, will have a new body. And the proof that we have, the hope that we have is this, that Jesus was the one that tasted death for every single one of us. When we go to be with the Lord, we are not going to be hopeless. We're not going to be, you know what, I don't know what is going to happen to me, because we know. We know what is going to happen to us. Why? Because Jesus has demonstrated to us that death has been overcome. He has overcome death on our behalf. Do you understand? Paul, the apostle, understood this so well. And can you imagine, Paul was saying in one of the epistles that he wrote, he said, I'm torn between two decisions here. I don't know, should I stay in the body and be alive, or should I die and, you know, go and be with the Lord? And he said his preference was to actually die and go and meet the Lord. But he said, my presence will be more beneficial to the people here. So he chose to stay, which is quite interesting. Where someone understood so much the power that Christ has over death, that he said, you know what? Whether I die or I live, I mean, everything is for Christ. Where he had the choice, he said, you know what? I can go now, which is what I would prefer, because then I'll be with Christ. But you know what? I'm going to stay. This was someone who understood the power of the resurrection. And this is one of the reasons why Paul risked his life. He was bitten. He was on ships that were wrecked. There was a time that was it's not like the ships that you have now that have sat nav that they can locate where they are in the ocean. on planks floating on the ocean. I mean, have you guys ever seen what the ocean looks like? Floating in the middle on planks. That didn't deter him. Why? Because he understood something. There was a message that he was bringing to us. And the message was this, that Christ died and he resurrected. And because of the resurrection of Christ, we have life. Do you understand? We have life. Irrespective, alive or dead, we have life. And he understood that. So, the last thing I just want to talk about this morning concerning the resurrection is this. If you look at John chapter 11 verse 25, John chapter 11 verse 25, the fifth thing, Jesus said something there. He said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. So the fifth thing we're looking at here is this. We need to realize that Jesus is the source of life. Our lives are in the hands of Jesus like this. When Lazarus died, his sisters came to Jesus. One of them came and said, God, if he had been here earlier, my brother would not have died. But I know that I'll see him on the last day, so to speak. And Jesus looked at her and he said, you know what? I am the resurrection and the life. It says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. So this begins to tell us something, that Jesus began to tell us this, that the power of death and life is in the hands of Christ. Do you understand what I mean? The power of life and death is in his hands. So he says, whether you are alive as a Christian or physically dead, irrelevant. What is relevant is this. Whatever side of life you're on, whether on this side of life or on the other side of life, because of Christ, you have life. Do you understand? What is death? Death is in, we don't have to turn there, Revelations chapter, I believe chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. That is eternal death. So there are people who are alive on this side of the world. But when they die, they will meet eternal death. Terrible, forever and ever. But we have this joy that wherever side of eternity we are on, alive here, we are alive in Christ. Dead in the bodily form, we're alive in Christ still. So we begin to see this thing that Jesus demonstrated through his resurrection. That you know what, people? I am the one that has the final say about death and life. I am the one who has everything in my hands. And I have demonstrated it. I have taken your place. I have removed death from your life. As you have faith in me. Why? Because I hung on the cross. Why? Because I rose again on the third day. Defeated death, defeated the devil. Amen. So these are some of the things about the resurrection. So we've looked at the fact that it confirms the prophecies about Christ. It is the bedrock of our faith. That because Jesus rose, we have hope. He conquered death. The third thing is this. The resurrection of Christ showed the power of Christ over death and over the devil. Mommy. The fourth thing is that we know that eventually when we die as Christians, we will rise again when Christ comes back. And the fifth thing is that we should bear in mind that at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is the one that has life and death in his hand. And for the Christian, whatever side of the world you're in, this side or the eternal side, you and I can be guaranteed that our life will only go from glory to glory. Do you understand? Why? Because of Christ. So I'm going to end there today. Now, what should be our response because of this? You know, I was thinking about this over this past few days, and I said, wow, what a privilege that we know Christ. What an honor that I'm not, or you're not lost thinking that you're going to be reincarnated. For all those people, we pray that God will turn their hearts. But what a sad story when one dies and he thinks he's going to be reincarnated only to realize that they're lost for eternity. Do you understand? So what should our response be? Two things. I believe our response should be one of gratitude. Gratitude that the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. You don't have to turn there. That you are saved by grace through faith. It is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. The fact that you have accepted that gift. I mean, if I use this term, even if God doesn't do any other thing for you in this world, the fact that he has given you that gift of salvation, fantastic. That is enough. So that's our first response, a response of gratitude to Christ. The other response is this. Again, this is like a reassurance. A reassurance to us that are alive. A reassurance to us as Christians that our work is not in vain. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says here, Paul was saying that, you know what? Everything we do in the kingdom, our going out to preach, our going out to tell people about Christ, our coming together like this, doing worship, doing the projector, all these things contributing to the kingdom of heaven. The Bible tells us one thing, that it is not in vain. It is not in vain. It says, 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So Paul is telling us that our second response is this, that everything we're doing, you know, when I say, you know, let's talk to people about Christ, let's do this, let's do that. All these things that we're doing, the Bible tells us that it is not in vain. Why? Because it has eternal consequences. So Paul was telling them, you know what, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Don't let anything move you. Bible says, what will separate us from the love of God? Will persecution? What? Hardship? So he's saying, whatever we're going through, whatever we experience in the path of our lives, Bible tells us, Paul was saying that we should count it as a light affliction. Do you understand what I mean? Why? Because what we're doing has eternal consequences. And everything we do, will never be in vain. Amen. So I'm going to stop there this morning, and I'm just going to ask us to rise up and we'll pray.